KCBO, 1230 AM, W255DN, Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Days after the Oval Office clash between President Trump, Vice President Vance, and Ukraine's president, the White House hits the pause button on aid to Ukraine. CBS's Eleanor Watson.
The president is pausing and reviewing all aid to Ukraine to ensure that it is contributing to a solution.
CBS's MTS Tayeb in Kyiv has spoken with a soldier named Oleksiy.
You're going to keep fighting no matter what.
Of course, for the sake of my granddaughter, he said, we must protect ourselves to prove that Ukraine exists. A fight for Ukraine, everyone we met here believes in.
President Trump said earlier today that the minerals deal is not off the table with Ukraine, and he needs Ukraine's president to be more appreciative so that they can restart negotiations.
I believe that Russia wants to make a deal. I believe certainly the people of Ukraine want to make a deal. They've suffered more than anybody else.
CBS News Special Report, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
I'm Brittany Merlot with WXCO News, your news roundup in a quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WXCO website at BullFallsRadio.com.
Wisconsin falls short to the Spartans. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Badgers had the lead at halftime, but lost to the Spartans at Michigan State, 71-62. Badgers head coach Greg Gard.
You're always going to build your program and your team to be able to survive those. And the two things that we didn't do well enough when you have one of these 5-for-32 games, and part of that's Michigan State's defense, part of it, you know, we had good looks. I thought we had some really good looks at times from the right guys.
Up next, Wisconsin plays the Gophers in Minnesota Wednesday night. Marquette with a win over the weekend at Georgetown. They head north to face UConn on Wednesday. UW-Milwaukee had no trouble against Detroit Mercy. The Panthers winning 89-67, securing the number 3 seed in the Horizon League tournament. And the number 1 ranked Wisconsin Badgers women's hockey team shut out Bemidji State in Madison 11-0. So the Badgers advance to the first round of the WCHA playoffs Friday in Duluth. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Elon Musk. You're going to fire a bunch of folks. Well, that's going to, you know, increase unemployment. That's going to have an impact on the economy. The government buys farmers' goods for the USAID and no more USAID. Well, this thing's going to rot in the field. What happens to the prices? What happens to the farmers? What is the point here? It just seems like these are just such amateur decision-making, wasting our taxpayer dollars by wasting people's time.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. Lots to get to, lots to talk about. So, a country run by bullies, gangsters, thugs, and thieves. That's who our leaders are. Welcome to America. No more shining city on the hill. No more fighter for the underdog. No more champion of freedom and democracy. The last beacon of hope just, well, evidently, not us. And the weird thing is, I grew up believing our nation stood on the high ground of truth, justice, democracy. It was the American way. We fought tirelessly for values of democracy and truth and justice and fairness and all of that here and abroad. And look, I've always taken great pride, as I think we all have, that we were revered around the world as those champions of fairness, justice, decency. We embodied the spirit of resilience and unity, especially when you're talking about international affairs. It used to be politics stopped at the water's edge. On global international affairs, We didn't do this. And the thing is, we talk about and we take our hats off at baseball games you know, to remember the sacrifices of those who came before us and how that sacrifice ensured that every voice was heard and every dream pursued and every life mattered. Well, we now have got Donald Trump as the president. And, you know, we hear all the talk about upholding the ideals that make America exceptional. We hear the talk about, you know, a brighter future, America first, country first. We thump our chests. We chant USA, USA, let freedom ring. And here we are, a nation run by bullies, thugs, con Christians, and oligarchs. That's who we are, evidently. It's what we voted for. And look, I'm not even talking about the fact that Trump is in the process of fast-tracking the deportations of more than a million migrants who were admitted into this country through legal means during the Biden years. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about the debacle that happened on Friday, which, you know, I guess we view in the red hat, blue hat lens, or at least the red hats view it as Zelensky was out of control. He was not gracious and not grateful enough. And yet what we saw is the kind of wife-beating bully mentality that sadly Republicans are now known for and have been known for. You know, the old Froster Freeze, oh, if you're going to get raped, just lay back and enjoy it. That's who the Republican Party is. It's no longer the party who stands up for truth, justice, and the American way. No, no. Because evidently the new American way is, hey, how can we shake somebody down? And I'll be honest, as I watched the debacle on Friday, my mind went back to those history classes that I had as a kid, learning about what we did, what made us exceptional. After World War II, we could have taken over the globe. We could have created empire, but instead we gave it all back and rebuilt it with the Marshall Plan. I couldn't help but think, if we're looking at Donald Trump as the president during that era, what does that look like? I guess there'd be more Trump hotels, because this was a shakedown. This was a typical sleazy real estate deal that he concocted to go, oh, we're going to get minerals out of this, with no real guarantees that anything's going to pay off. And he actually sat next to somebody who is willing to die for his country. And you're going to mock the man for not wearing a suit? Disgraceful on every level. What we saw out of Donald Trump and J.D. Vance, absolutely disgraceful. But the faithful on that side, well, no, he disrespected the White House. J.D. said so. And Donald said, you know, you don't have cards. We got cards. Again, what you do is you. This is an example of a bully kicking a victim. Russia invaded Ukraine. Is Ukraine corrupt? A lot of countries are corrupt. But this is not that. This is Russia, one of our greatest adversaries for a very long time, invading a sovereign nation, a neighbor. And we're now on the Russian side, saying that Zelensky's not ready for peace? What does that mean? What does it mean? What is a ceasefire that Trump is offering? Nothing. And the frustrating part in all this is another thing to divide us, we the people. Whereas this should be something that unites the country. Because, you know, I guess it's just because I grew up during the Cold War era that I don't look to Russia as the savior. I don't look to them as the good guy. I don't look to them as having our values. I look to Vladimir Putin as a KGB officer who wants to get the old band back together. And Ukraine is that first step. And how we respond and what we allow will dictate the future. And you've got Mike Johnson praying that Zelensky will come to his senses and show the proper amount of gratitude. Or someone else is going to have to run that country. It's disgraceful what they've done. But again, when you're looking at Dear Leader, there's nothing too low. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back, Trygve Olsen's going to be here from the Lincoln Project. I'm going to share some thoughts on, where we're going. Back after this.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors, the American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, our quote of the day. It's one of those things I got to tell you. It's German President Frank-Walter Steinmeier. He says, diplomacy fails when negotiating partners are humiliated in front of the world. He goes on to say, the scene at the White House yesterday took my breath away. I would never have believed that we would ever have to defend Ukraine from the United States. Let that sink in for a moment. And here to share some thoughts on the Friday debacle, the ambush, if you will, I've asked my good friend Trygve Olsen to come share some thoughts. Trygve's a principal there at Viking Strategies, also a senior advisor to the Lincoln Project and the Lincoln Democracy Institute. Trygve, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me on, Rick. It's good to see you.
So let's start with the German president's quote. I never thought I'd have to defend Ukraine from the U.S. Diplomacy fails when you're humiliating someone. What they did to Zelensky was they expected him to crawl in there like a groveling dog and lick their feet, and he didn't do it.
Yeah. I just think, think about all that Zelensky has been through, right? Like, Zelensky has been leading a country that was attacked by people and a larger neighbor, has literally been under duress now for 2.5 years. And to be treated like that in the White House, which, you know, somewhere you have to think that, you know, Ronald Reagan and Jack Kennedy and all of them had to be that lived through the Cold War were looking at that down from wherever they are and just
or up.
Right. Depending on your perspective. I just think, here's the thing. I don't know that people fully get how big that moment is, because it doesn't just signify the end of the post-Cold War period, but it really signifies the end of the post-World War II era. And for our allies around the world, You know, trust is something that takes a lifetime to build and can be destroyed in an instant. And that is what they did. They destroyed trust in the United States
in an
instant.
No, because, you know, me, as I'm watching this, you know, my mind, you know, starts wandering to these places of the past. Because, look, we've always been viewed as the shining city on the hill. You know, we're the people who went in after World War II with the Marshall Plan and basically rebuilt Europe. We didn't go in and try and shake them down and going, we'll come in and help, but We want half of all your stuff. I just got this feeling in the pit of my stomach that this isn't who we are, but it is.
It is what we chose. And honestly, for the when you think about the people that voted for this, I don't think they fully understood the magnitude of what they did. I mean, you know, Donald Trump's best generation was Gen X men who grew up watching the Soviets lose to the United States in hockey and cheering that, wanted to be Wolverines in Red Dawn and pretend they were Patrick Swayze. And they essentially voted supposedly to make America great again. And what they did is they have destroyed one of the foundational things that made America great. And if you think about that world that the greatest generation, you know, bestowed on us through things like the Marshall Plan, you know, the cynic would say, what did we get out of that? Well, I'll tell you what we got out of that. We got allies that kept the peace and prosperity for over 80 years. And our largest trading partner in the world, $1.2 trillion, are the Europeans who now no longer trust us. Think about that.
Yeah. No, I mean, all of this. I mean, my whole belief and my whole understanding of who we are as a country, that whole, you know, walk softly and carry a big stick, that whole strength 100%. Through diplomacy and, you know, and all of that stuff, all wiped away in one instant because they wanted this guy to come in, grovel, and kiss the ring. They wanted, you know, the fact that in this media space, you haven't been grateful enough. That, I'm just like, you know, where do you go with that?
I don't. He thanks the United States all the time. I mean, I just think.
Yeah, but you didn't. He didn't thank dear leader. You got to think. Thank dear leader. Right. He didn't say President Trump. Right. Oh gracious one. Oh great God of orange magnitude. Thank you. Maybe that's what he needed to do.
I mean, what they were wanting from Zelensky is exactly what Vladimir Putin was wanting. At its most foundational level before the conflict started, Rick. I mean, that's the sad reality. And I think that's what people like Steinmeier are trying to come to grips with. And I can tell you, having spent all that time in that part of the world and having worked with, you know, across party lines, John McCain, Madeleine Albright, you know, Republicans, Democrats, trying to encourage building democracies in these places because of the benefits that we get from trade, from alliances that keep the peace, that keep a set of rules and order that have made the world a far better place, a win-win place rather than a zero-sum place where might makes right. That's, I don't know.
Yeah, now you're a much smarter guy than I am. There was some saying about, you know, politics stops at the water's edge. You know, that used to be
100%.
You know, we were all on the same team when it came to, you know, crossing the border there. That dead?
Yeah, I mean
because what's amazing to me,
certainly,
Trigby,
certainly in certain circles, certain circles, you have to wonder, look at a guy like Lindsey Graham. I mean, I was with Lindsey Graham and John McCain meeting with Belarusians in Latvia. And you know, he literally in a week changed where he was at. Marco Rubio was on the board of the International Republican Institute. Elise Stefanik was on the National Endowment for Democracy's board. And those are the institutions that were built by Republicans and Democrats together in the greatest generation. Reagan and Thatcher, for God's sakes, were the drivers of it. The British built along with the labor unions, you know. And all that's out the window. And I think, you know, people used to say to me all the time, you know, they'd ask me before the elections, given my international experience, if I was afraid of my daughters growing up in an America without democracy. And I said, what I'm really afraid of is my daughters growing up in a world without the leadership that American democracy provides. And that's all out the window.
So let's talk about that for a moment, because, you know, I got to tell you, I listened to Trump talk about World War III, blaming Zelensky for starting it. Which I got to be honest, I don't know how you came to that math. I don't know how he comes to that math, but I do fear for my kids because my kids are of that age that, you know, if it gets bad enough, they're going somewhere.
Yeah, right. Right. And, you know, all this talk, we have a big, beautiful ocean that Trump talks about, you know, as if we're living in 1910 when you didn't have weaponry that can cross oceans quickly. I mean, and I will tell you, I mean, I spent years working with the Belarusians and the Russian opposition, the pro-democracy people. My good friend Boris Nemtsov, who was the leader of the Russian opposition, gunned down in front of the Kremlin. It was the anniversary of his death about 3 days ago. The thing is, if you watch what the Russians were doing in Ukraine, if they could do that in your city, in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, or Beaver Dam, Wisconsin, or any of the places, New York City, they would be doing that.
Yeah.
And they might decide to do that. And I just, you know, I'm sort of at a loss because it's a moment I didn't think I would ever see. I didn't imagine I could ever see. And I'm really not sure that the people who are listening who voted for Donald Trump, or maybe most Americans, even can fully grasp how big of a moment that was. And what's terrifying to me is the number of people who can, who I know, who I've been talking to over the last few days, they're terrified.
Yeah. Now, interesting you brought this up because there's a CBS poll that said 52% of the country backs Ukraine, 4% backs Russia, and 44% they don't care. And that 44% who don't care, that's frightening to me.
Well, that number, that number less so. Yes, it is a little bit frightening. But what I will tell you is, if you look at, you know, and I went through a period where, within the last couple of years, where I was reading everything I could about how America and what transpired in the 30s and you know, of course, conflict was going on in Europe. Those numbers, the 52% is actually probably higher than the number of people that were taking Britain's side in the lead up to World War II, certainly higher than like the Polish side or the Czech side. And the 44% is, you know, like people get it. I do think the one glimmer of hope that I have, and Andrew Sullivan wrote a brilliant piece called Requiem of the West, which everybody should look up and read. But the one thing that makes me hold out some hope is, you know, that same Generation X that, you know, did cheer the U.S. hockey team beating the Soviets, that did, you know, watch Reagan and Peace Through Strength and watch the end of the Cold War, watch the Berlin Wall fall down. We're about the same age. I'm sure you can say exactly where you were when that started to happen. Yep. I can. And they do understand. I mean, what the Russians have been doing in Ukraine is what the Russians do. They're just doing what they do. And I'm hoping that at least not all of them, but that some of them, that this is the kind of moment that causes them to stop and think. Because now what we have to do, what's incumbent upon all of us who do things like, you know, this radio show, or as you know, I'm on some other ones, podcasts, other stuff. We have to keep reminding people, not letting it fade from the conscious. Because if we do, the way that Donald Trump and his allies win is they win by wearing those people down when they're not fully consciously engaged.
Excellent point. Now, you have deep, deep Republican roots. Are you surprised at the Republican Party's lack of response in this? The only person I've really seen that came out forceful, and maybe there's somebody that I missed, was Lisa Murkowski. That's it. That's the only one I've seen who she came out and said, I'm sick to my stomach as the administration appears to be walking away from our allies and embracing Putin, a threat to democracy and U.S. values around the world. But she seems to be it.
She seems to be it. And, you know, I wonder, as you alluded to, you know, I spent time where I was part of kind of, you know, Mitch McConnell's team doing stuff around Senate races and was a senior advisor to his outside group and in his reelect. I really wonder about McConnell because, you know, McConnell's wife was cabinet secretary Elaine Chao during George H.W. Bush's administration, and she met my wife one time, who is Lithuanian, grew up in the Soviet Union. And, you know, Elaine Shaw was in the Parliament building as a member of the U.S. cabinet in 1991 when the Lithuanians were standing up to Soviet tanks to demand their independence. I mean, it's not like people like Elaine don't understand what Trump and Vance were doing and demeaning Zelensky and how the Russians operate. I mean, she saw it firsthand. I watched her and my wife have a conversation about it because my wife was at the parliament too, except she was standing outside in minus 13 degree weather, looking at a turret of a Soviet tank, wondering if it was going to blow up the 100,000 people who were standing there.
So let's change it.
Shaw, to her credit, was there because President Bush said, we're going to get a cabinet secretary to be there, that if they blow up the parliament, they're blowing up a cabinet secretary. That's what we used to be. What we were in the Oval Office, I don't know what that was.
I don't either.
So we were not an exceptional nation. We were a pathetic nation.
I'm right there with you.
We were like every other nation.
No, not the superpower we say we are. So the question is how does the rest of the world react to this then? We've seen Britain, France come together with Ukraine. I guess they're developing a ceasefire plan, whatever that's going to look like. What do you expect in the coming days, weeks, or months? Or, you know, does Zelensky have to come groveling back and beg for what, in my view, was a shakedown? But, you know, does he have to come groveling back?
You know, here's the thing. I mean, Vladimir Zelensky has demonstrated himself to be an extraordinarily amazing human being and not one who backs down to thugs. You know, I mean, literally at the start of the thing when the Biden administration was, you know, we need to get you out of Ukraine. I don't need a taxi. I need bullets. My country's being invaded, right? Like, I don't think he's a guy who's going to back down. I don't think that Donald Trump and I don't know about J.D. Vance, but I think Donald Trump is so zero sum. And I don't think that most Americans understand fully that people in places like the Baltics, the Poles, the Czechs and others, and I don't think Vladimir Putin gets that, they're not going back. They just aren't.
Right.
And the world is not going to be a safer place when you have somebody like Putin who wants to put the Soviet Union back together. You have someone like Donald Trump who clearly is only about himself and a deal and a bunch of people. We don't get to make the decision whether the Ukrainians are going to stop fighting or any more than he can tell the Russians to stop fighting. Like the bottom line is diplomacy is about getting people to find mutual understanding. And Donald Trump is trying to do that. And that makes the world far more dangerous. And I will tell you what I think we're going to see, Rick. I mean, the big lesson of what happened to the Ukrainians, and I think the Poles and the Swedes and a whole bunch of other people are going to be looking at this, is the way you keep this from happening is to get what?
Nukes.
Nuclear weapons.
Yep. No, because this all happened because...
If I were Polish, Poland's a real country. Poland has nuclear power. If the Iranians can make nuclear weapons, you think the Poles can? But everybody and their brother getting nuclear weapons isn't going to make the world a safer place. That's just going to... I mean, it's terrible.
Yeah, back to our word. You know, we gave Ukraine our word. They'd be okay when they gave up their nukes.
Yep, we did. And the Brits are keeping their word. We were keeping our word. The Russians didn't keep their word. And think about after World War II, right? Like if you're in Eastern Europe, I mean, the Americans, we could have taken over all those countries. We didn't. We rebuilt them. What did the Russians do with the countries that they...
No, that's
right. That was what made us exceptional. Right, that is what made America great. And we were able to build a world where the dollar was the reserve currency status, where people like my wife's Lithuanian granny, one of her most prized possessions was a $20 bill that she kept under her mattress, right? That she had gotten a hold of, right? Like those were the things, NATO, the greatest security alliance for keeping peace and prosperity, that allowed the prosperity that we as Americans have. And I'm telling you, it's going to have repercussions. Like it's going to have repercussions about the dollar. And here's the irony, the biggest irony of them all. If you were to talk to a Marco Rubio or you were to talk to a lot of these guys, all they'd be saying is China's the real threat. China's the real threat. Who's winning in all of this with our allies? If you're the Europeans and you can't trust the Americans, who are you going to go to?
China.
I mean, again, these people who voted for Trump because of the price of eggs have, and supposedly under a slogan, let's make America great again, clearly they have no idea what they've done. And the sad part is all of us are going to get taken along for the ride because that's the way democracy works.
Scary times. But Trigvi, I hope you'll come back and share some more thoughts as this continues. I appreciate the time. Good stuff, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime, Rick. And I'm so glad that you're out there with my peeps in Wisconsin. Makes me so happy you're on Civic Media.
Yes, sir. Thanks so much. Our good friend Trigvi Olson, principal over at Viking Strategies and senior advisor at the Lincoln Project and Lincoln Democracy Institute. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. Scary times. May you live in interesting. Are these interesting times? I think they're scary. Back after this.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy tonight, a few showers around and lows in the mid-30s. And areas of rain for tomorrow, mainly in the afternoon, a high to the mid-40s. Rain changing to snow tomorrow night and windy. There could be some slushy accumulations Wednesday. Currently 35 degrees.
The Todd Alba Show.
Think about how many people in our communities, our friends, our families, our neighbors, our postal workers, carriers, people that work at our Veterans Affairs hospitals, USDA. Here's what Marjorie Taylor Greene, Donald Trump's lieutenant, thinks of all the people I just mentioned.
Federal employees do not deserve their jobs.
That's what Donald Trump and MAGA believe if you are a federal worker.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I gotta tell you, I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall when Donald Trump saw the SNL opening, which I thought was really well done. Kind of funny too, when asking how much Putin paid Trump to say how much he loves him, and what was the line that maybe Zelensky should offer him a night with his wife for peace? You know, that's the kind of vibe I got from that whole thing. And this is what happens when you get thugs and bullies and oligarchs running our government. And here to share some thoughts on, well, what that was on Friday. I've asked our good friend Rich O'Jay to come share some thoughts. Rich is running for Congress in North Carolina's 9th Congressional District. You can check out his website, ojettafornc.com. Rich, thanks for taking time for us.
Always a pleasure. Always enjoy being on your show, brother.
So, a career military guy being that you are, I got to wonder, when you saw what happened on Friday, thoughts?
I thought it was absolutely horrific. You know, they literally ambushed President Zelensky. And just everything about it was wrong. I mean, they're literally asking, you know, the Ukrainian president to give in and give Vladimir Putin every single thing that he wants and nothing for Ukraine. I mean, they're like literally saying that we need you to go ahead and give back all the land that you've taken back. You know, so, I mean, what is it? What's in it for the Ukrainian people? Nothing. And I'm really, really glad that we have had so many world leaders that have rallied behind Vladimir Zelensky and have committed to continuing to support him so that he can continue to keep Russia, from taking over their country. And, you know, there were so many things that we saw. You know, the fact that Marge the train wreck Green's boyfriend was even in the room is a travesty, but him talking about the, you know, how come you don't wear a suit? You know, why don't you say that to Elon Musk, who, you know, shows up in the Oval Office, his kids wiping boogers under the desk. And, but once again, it's who these people are. You know, they were angered because Vladimir Putin didn't show up and literally bow down to Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. Yeah, so it's an embarrassment.
No, and you know, the whole wear a suit thing, I'm going, you know, what a stupid question. Why would you allow that? Because those things, these things are generally scripted. This is what I think most people don't understand. These kind of events are generally scripted. You kind of have an idea what the reporters are going to ask. But understand, Trump just threw out the actual journalist and brought in a bunch of sycophants and a bunch of loyalists. And I got to wonder if that question wasn't something, not that that guy dreamt up, because I don't think he's that bright, but something the administration wanted to make a fight over.
I think that, you know, the moment that he got out of the car, Donald Trump started talking about his attire, you know, and once again, you know, you got to understand that this is a leader who spends the majority of his time on the front line with his troops. So I'm going to tell you, in terms of, you know, courage, what we are seeing with President Zelensky is absolutely purely courageous, what he is doing for him and his people. And to me, as a soldier, I support him wholeheartedly. It breaks my heart that our country has completely did a 180. You know, the moment that Donald Trump takes back power, we automatically do everything in our power to align ourselves with Russia, which is our number one adversary that we have had for quite some time in this country.
Evidently not, Rich. Evidently not. According to The Guardian, and I'm sure you've seen this, according to The Guardian, the Trump administration has publicly and privately stated that Russia is not a cyber threat. They're not a threat to our critical infrastructure. This is the new position of the American government.
Was it Khrushchev that said that we will not take over the United States of America with bombs, but we will do it from within?
Yep.
Folks, let me tell you something. This is the from within. You know, Donald Trump is giving Vladimir Putin everything that Vladimir Putin can ask for. And, you know, I mean, first off, the whole world begged Putin, please do not invade the sovereign nation of Ukraine. And they thought, no big deal, we'll take Ukraine in 3 days. And we also found that their plans also had Moldova next. And let me tell you something, if the Ukrainian people cannot continue to defy the Russian troops, they will take Ukraine, and then they will go into Moldova. And then after Moldova, they're going to go into Romania. They'll probably go into Poland. They want to get back to the old days of, you know, where Russia had the Iron Curtain and they controlled everything within. But I'm going to tell you, you talk to anybody, and I have traveled Europe extensively. I have been all over all of Europe. And I will tell you that I have never met a person that says that we should go back to the way that it used to be.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got friends in Bulgaria. I've got friends in Warsaw, Poland. I've got friends all over. And none of them ever want to find themselves. And let me tell you, I actually crossed into East Germany before the unification. I was stationed in Germany back right after the wall actually busted open. But I'm going to tell you, I actually went into East Germany, and it was like the reversal of the Wizard of Oz, where I started in Berlin and everything was colorful. There's restaurants, there's people everywhere. And then we crossed through Checkpoint Charlie into Eastern Germany, and it was like black and white. I still to this day can't really remember any colors. And it was all these old cars that, you know, just they don't even have name brands. And I remember that. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. And I've always thought that, you know, I would have never wanted to live on that side of the fence. And those people that lived on that side of the fence that have now tasted freedom don't want no part of that. And make no mistake about it, Russia's not going to stop. You know, they're already eyeing the Baltics. And let me tell you something, the Baltics don't want no part of going back under Russian control. So what we have right now is we have a constitutional crisis in the United States of America, and we've got people that, number one, are willing to support Russia while they dismantle the systems that we need, that a lot of people rely on in the United States of America. And that's where we're at right now. We are in a very, very dangerous spot. And I'm going to tell you, it's kind of like, I think that their mistake that they made is that it's kind of like the frog in the boiling pot. If you turn the temperature up slowly, the frog will not move. He'll end up cooking. But when you turn it up too fast, the frog will jump out. And the thing about it is what they've done here is they've done way too much too fast. And it has literally pissed off the entire country. I mean, they are livid right now. And oh, by the way, if they kill Social Security, get ready, because I'm going to tell you, we are at the point right now where I think people are almost ready to take it to the streets. And you know what? We may have to do that. It may have to come to that, because right now these people don't care about us. You know, they really, if you look at the budget that the Republicans just passed, you know, the bad part about it is after they passed a budget that's literally going to kill Medicare, Medicaid, kill SNAP benefits, food stamps, and all this stuff, what did they do? They kneeled and they prayed. Huh? Yeah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for allowing us to take from the poor and allowing us to hurt the elderly people so that most of them will die in poverty. Thank you, Lord. It's like, is that the prayer that they said? Because I'm telling you, if I ever am successful and I make it to Washington, D.C., and I watch Republicans do something like that, while they get on their knees and pray, I will scream at the top of my lungs the prayer that I think fits what they should be saying.
Yeah, keep that for podcasts. Because look, this is how we all feel. I think how all reasonable, decent, you know, compassionate, logical people feel. That, you know, if you're literally going to take from the mouths of children and give to oligarchs, you know, save us the display of piety and religiosity.
Yes, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell people, people aren't realizing this, but that little $5 million gold card that Donald Trump is trying to sell that gives you all the green card plus the green card benefits, plus it's a faster path to citizenship. Do we really want a whole bunch of millionaires and billionaires to buy a gold card for $5 million so they can come to the United States of America and do what? Not pay taxes and then take from all of us in the middle class and the poor? Because that's what happens. And let me tell you something. This is the sad thing. Is I did a little research and I said, how many billionaires do we have in America? In 2024, we had 785 billionaires. So literally what the Republicans just did was they screwed over 340,099,000 and then a few numbers. They screwed over all those people to make sure that the top 785 will get more money than they've ever gotten ever before. Billionaires who can't spend the money they already have in 1,000 lifetimes. And that's where we are right now.
But understand, Rich, without them, we would just be standing around looking at each other. There'd be no jobs, Rich. There'd be no economy. There'd be none of that.
Yeah, I think if you listen to Donald Trump, that's what you're going to be told. Let me tell you something. I don't think we need billionaires. I believe in the President Eisenhower that said there is no reason for anybody to be a billionaire. And oh, by the way, if I am successful and I become a member of Congress, I'm going to push to tax the billionaire class at 90% because I don't care. And at the end of the day, I think that the American people will benefit greatly. There should be no billionaires. There's no reason to have this. And once again, Elon Musk is pure trash. Yeah. You know, what he's doing to the Veterans Administration, what they are doing to this country, what they're trying to do to Social Security, it's going to put a lot of people on a pathway to death, to poverty, starvation, and death. All because why? So they can get a few more billion dollars? Yeah, I disagree. I think that Elon Musk is an absolute villain, and any billionaire that stands with him is also an absolute villain.
Well, as I've always said, behind every great billionaire, there's a great crime. And, you know, the crimes against humanity or the crimes against our tax code or the crimes against, you know, ethics, that's how they got where they are. Because you said that there are over 700 billionaires. Well, before Reagan took office, there was only one. And we had taxed them out of existence by using the tax code during the FDR years up to 92%.
But I want
to go back to something you said about the war and Trump kept hammering on you're going to start World War III, and I'm kind of curious how Ukraine is going to be the one starting World War III. It seems to me what Trump is doing is at the front end of starting World War III, which is allowing Ukraine to fall. And I think upending, you know, most of what's going on in Europe. I'm curious if you have thoughts on that.
Look, if they take Ukraine, they're not going to stop at Ukraine, and it's going to start World War III. And oh, by the way, right now the United Kingdom have now said, look, we're going to support Ukraine with boots on the ground and aircraft. So we're moving towards World War III. Now, Donald Trump could have showed leadership, but once again, he doesn't, he can't spell it. So, you know, and that's just the way it is. And then, of course, J.D. Vance is nothing more than a little bootlicker. And you saw how Marco Rubio was sinking into the couch. And then, of course, you know, instead of saying something and showing some courage, he just sinks into the couch and then goes on the news and starts throwing stones at Zelensky. Look, look, if we allow Russia to, in you know, to take over Ukraine, they're not going to stop. They're going to take Moldova. They're going to take Romania. And what do you think these other countries in Europe are going to do? They're going to have to defend themselves. NATO is going to have to do what NATO was created for.
Yeah, but
which
Rich,
was daggone standing against.
But Rich, that would have happened under Biden. That would have happened under Biden because nobody believed in Biden. Trump. Everyone respects Trump. No one would do that to Trump. Putin has evidently told him nobody would do that to Trump. That's Obama and Biden, not Trump.
Well, let me tell you something. Putin,
it's a bad.
Trump is a buffoon. And I'm going to tell you right now, you know, President Biden was absolutely correct in his support of Ukraine. And once again, remember, I mean, that's what's kept Russia from actually taking over the country. And right now, the positive thing about this is that because so many world leaders were absolutely just disgusted at what we saw with that ambush in the Oval Office, that now they are all stepping up and saying, look, here's the deal. We are absolutely going to make sure that we make up for the loss of the United States of America. The only thing that I'm waiting on is for Donald Trump to commit troops to support Russia. Because that wouldn't surprise me. The United States of America has now sided with North Korea, China, Russia, and absolutely unacceptable.
Wow. Yeah, now you've gone to a place that not even my mind allowed me to go.
That's where we're at.
So, whoa. I know you're connected to the military. I know you're connected to the boots on the ground. I know you're in that world. Could that fly?
Look, let me tell you something. What we are watching is they're purging the military. And I'm going to tell you, you know, if you, regardless if you're a private, if you're a sergeant, if you're an officer, doesn't matter. If you are given an order that is unlawful, illegal, or immoral, you have a duty to absolutely say no. But what are we watching right now? We're watching people of color being purged from our leadership in the military. That's a red flag. That's racism going on, and we're watching it in real time. And, you know, they fire two people on the Joint Chiefs of Staff. They fire the chairman, who is a four-star general, black of color, and they fire the woman that is an admiral in the Coast Guard, or maybe the Navy. But once again, and oh, by the way, yesterday they made a three-star woman of color in the Marine Corps resign and retire. So I'm worried that the leadership in our military is worried that they're going to be tanked. And that scares me. You know, we recently had about five generals, General Austin, General Mattis, General Milley. They all come out and they said, look, what we're seeing right now with Russia is unacceptable. There is no reason why they should have ambushed, the Ukrainian president. They spoke out. We need more of those people to speak out. And let me tell you something, you know, basically putting boots on the ground for Russia, that is unlawful as far as I'm concerned. And our general officers need to show courage. You know, Pete Hegseth, the DUI hire, you know, that guy right there is doing nothing but absolutely trying to dismantle our military. And I am hoping that our general officers have the guts to push back and let him know that we're not going to let you come in here and destroy our military. But I'm telling you, I'm worried, because the truth is if they had any courage, they would be defending that four-star general of color, that woman, both of those women, they would be defending them right now. But right now we're hearing crickets, and that scares me. That scares me to death.
So last question I've got for you, because look, we're in the same age bracket. We both grew up during the Cold War with the idea of mutual assured destruction. I try not to let that cloud my judgment of today, but I got to tell you, this idea that we're going to trust Russia in anything, it frightens me.
And I
cannot believe that the party of Ronald Reagan, whom I disagreed with and I thought he was, you know, terrible for this country, but never doubted that he loved the country in some bizarre way, that party would be this.
Well, I mean, right now you're watching people that are absolutely taking Donald Trump's side, you know, on social media, talking about, it's about back on time, we got rid of Vladimir Zelensky. I mean, remember, this was a sovereign nation that didn't ask for this. The whole world asked Vladimir Putin to please do not invade the sovereign nation of Ukraine. And they did it anyway, because they didn't care, because Putin is who he is. And let me tell you something. You know, when a person opposes Putin, they end up poisoned or they fall out of a third story window on their head. You know, that's exactly the way Putin is. And, you know, he wants to take back Europe. And the people in Europe do not want to go that route. And I'm going to tell you that NATO is going to stand. And if it causes World War III, then so be it. You know, I hate the thought that the United States of America would stand with Russia. But right now with Donald Trump, that's exactly where we are. And I hope that our general officers are absolutely having conversations behind Pete Hegseth's back about what are we going to do if this crap goes to this? What are we going to do? Are we going to allow American troops to daggone, I don't know, support Russia when Russia is the aggressor? When you know, you talk about, yeah, Russia's lost a lot of troops. But you know what? Ukraine has lost their cities. You know, shortly after that ambush in Washington, D.C., Russia bombed a hospital, a crowded hospital in Ukraine. Because why? Because they don't care. They don't care about, you know, what people are going to say. Vladimir Putin does not care. He wants what he wants, and he will kill people to get it.
Rich, I appreciate the time, as always. Outside of disgraceful, I don't have another word for it. But, Rich, thanks so much. Oh, folks will check out the website, Ojeda4NC.com. Rich is running for Congress in the 9th Congressional District there in North Carolina. Rich, thanks so much, buddy.
Anytime, brother.
Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. If you're around on my age or older, can you believe what we saw? Or have you fallen into line that Zelensky was disrespectful? Should have wore a suit and a tie. You know, a Brooks Brothers. Yeah, I want to hear it. Rick@therickSmithShow.com. Right back. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1893. That was the day that William Greene, longtime president of the American Federation of Labor, was born in Coshocton, Ohio. Greene's family were English and Welsh immigrant miners. He entered the mines at the age of 16. Before he was 20, he had become secretary of the Coshocton Progressive Miners Union. That local would eventually join the United Mine Workers of America. By 1906, Greene had risen to lead the Ohio chapter of the UMWA. Less than two decades later, when longtime leader of the American Federation of Labor, Samuel Gompers, died, Greene was named his successor. Greene believed in union management cooperation. He thought labor could win more gains at the table with management than they could standing in opposition. Greene helped secure some major legislative victories for labor, including the 1935 National Labor Relations Act, which strengthened collective bargaining rights. He also supported the Fair Labor Standards Act, which established the 40-hour workweek and the minimum wage. His tenure at the helm of the AFL was during some of the most tumultuous years in U.S. labor history. This was an era of massive sit-down strikes and organizing drives for workers in industries like steel, meatpacking, and the auto industry. Greene supported organizing industrial workers, but the AFL's leadership at the time, by and large, favored skilled trade labor. Increasingly, Greene clashed with UMWA President John L. Lewis over the question of industrial unions. This led to a split in the labor movement and the formation of the separate Congress of Industrial Organizations. Greene continued to lead the AFL until his death in 1952. Labor History in Two, brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
We are certainly headed for interesting times. And look, as Rich said, I can't get it out of my head now. What if Donald Trump said, you know what? We're gonna support Russia. We're gonna send them arms, or we're gonna send them. It's unfathomable to me to think of, but wow. But here's the thing: we're in really bizarre times. I was just checking out a story from Lincoln Heights, Ohio, a suburb of Cincinnati, where it's a predominantly black community who evidently back at the beginning of February, a group of neo-Nazis decided, hey, let's go terrorize some black folk. Let's go and get in our garb and go marching to their elementary school. And, you know, let's drop literature and do all this stuff and cause a little chaos, a little fear, a little terrorism, if you will. What's interesting is out of that has come a community that's come together, a community that has said, okay, neo-Nazis want to come into our neck of the woods. You're going to get met with, well, you love guns so much, you're going to get met with people with guns. And you've got, according to the article, a bunch of people, something like 70 people who are, you know, armed up. You know, they look like the militia guys that I see dancing around over at the free gun range not far from my house. They're looking like they're going to combat. Because of Ohio's open carry law, they can do that. And as I'm watching this play out, you know, you've got these neo-Nazis with their swastikas and their AR-15s walking down the street. What happens if the two groups meet? What happens if you start seeing that kind of outbreak? This is where my mind starts going to the place that I've always believed. Gun control is never going to happen with Democrats getting the guns. It's never going to happen. The right would lose their minds. What? You're going to take my gun? No, no. But if it were to come from Donald Trump, Pam Bondi, if it were to come from, because again, we're afraid of the scary black people with guns, you know, much like Reagan did, much like they tried to do in the past, this could be an interesting moment. Again, there's a lot of opportunities here. And I know it's scary times, and I know it hurts in the pit of your stomach. I get it. I'm there with you. But I'm not going to be struck with despair. I think the way forward is to go, yeah, bad stuff's happening. Admit, bad stuff is happening. It's going to get worse. But we find each other. We find like-minded people who are going to defend our communities, like these folks in Lincoln Heights. I doubt the coward neo-Nazis are going to come back. But that kind of mobilization of community, that kind of coming together, that's what we need to be doing in these moments. Now, look, I'm not somebody who thinks we should be marching around the streets with AR-15s and armed to the teeth. But finding each other and organizing around the horrible that they're doing might be a way forward. And it's what gives me hope, because we're seeing it. We're seeing it happen. We're seeing these Republican town halls. Roger Marshall in Kansas bailed because I didn't want to hear it. Didn't want to hear how bad people think Donald Trump is doing and how bad ultimately he's doing. Because look, there are no, I know there's a lot of people out there, well, they're good Republicans. No, I haven't found one. Maybe Lisa Murkowski. But where is the courage in that party to stand up to Donald Trump? We saw Marco Rubio. We saw little Marco. We saw little Marco doing what little Marco does. And the reason that Trump brought him on, we saw it. And where are the profiles in courage again? Democrats, here's your opportunity. Here's your opportunity to stand up and take a strong position. What they did to Zelensky, what they did to our honor, to our word globally, disgraceful. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Miss any portion of the program, make sure you grab the podcast. Wherever you get your favorite podcast, you'll find ours. Thanks so much for being here. Look forward to seeing you back here next time.
You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show. Email Rick. At rick@thericksmithshow.com. Until next time, this has been The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The White House confirms to CBS News that the administration is pausing military aid to Ukraine. This comes after Friday's White House blow-up in front of the cameras, and as CBS's Olivia Rinaldi reports, President Trump is not happy with a recent comment from Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky.
Zelensky over the weekend said he thinks the war in Ukraine could go on much longer. He doesn't see a path for peace in the immediate future. Trump said he did not like that. He hopes that's not the case. And if he keeps talking like that, then the U.S. is no longer interested in having this conversation.
Mexico and Canada get ready for U.S. tariffs. The latest from CBS's Stacey Lynn.
President Trump says the tariffs,
25% on Canada and 25% on Mexico,
go into effect tomorrow. And there is no wiggle room.
What they have to do is build their car plants, frankly, and other things in the United States.
He also